Okie-dokie, boys and girls. Oh, everybody. What a lovely morning to be sitting in front of a microphone. It's kind of a little dreary outside, and that dreariness makes me long to be on the water because it's a little overcast, a little kind of foggy-ish, and I would like to be out throwing top water lures today. And
second.
You second?
Second, yeah.
Okay, so that's two.
I'll third it.
You'll third it?
Okay. I don't know about the top water part of it. I just love being out there in this kind of weather.
I was going to say, I didn't see you going the top water route.
No, I love top waters, but I love these overcast days to be outside, especially on the water, because it doesn't kill me. Because I love being on the water, but the sun is too brutal for my eyes.
Alright.
Well, and yeah, your eyes and everybody else's skin, and it gets all hot and nasty out there. I mean, it's supposed to be a pretty warm day today. We're expecting 89, but still, getting out there when it's nice and early and it's overcast and it's cloudy, it's just wonderful. But not for us. We're stuck here talking to you.
See?
But that means they're probably stuck there not doing what they want to do.
No, they listen on their phones. They listen wherever.
Yeah, they got their phones clicked on and they're out there in a boat and waiting for us to what was that? Okay, anyway.
I don't know. I think he caught something on fire for a second.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, here these pows. Oh, gosh. All right. We're going to go up to Peace River. Anything up on the Peace River, guys?
There's been some resident tarpon up there still from the power lines up to the 761 bridge and then over at Shell Creek also. So that's been pretty good. What do you got up there, Josh?
It's been okay. I had a couple guys say they were catching some smaller redfish, but they were not lots of redfish. They were kind of sparse. I did hear about cobia caught up underneath the 75 bridge, so that's cool.
Still hearing about the snook up there towards the Shell Creek area?
Yeah, but not as many. It seems like that's slowed down a bit, which isn't real surprising since, you know, we're getting into that time where a lot of those fish are going to be heading out towards the beach.
All right. So well, I think some of those guys have speaking of boogie. I-75, what were you just saying about I-75?
Cobia.
The cobia, and I've heard of a couple of black drum, but other than that, it's been fairly quiet. A couple people have been seeing some juvenile tarpon at first light when they're heading out, but not fishing for them. There was a handful of boats fishing around it this morning when we drove past it.
Okay, and that's going to take us down to 41 Bridge. I have SOS Marine here, and I was just there at SOS getting your boat. Last thing's done on your boat. I got to go pick it up Monday. I was going to get it yesterday, and I just couldn't make it over there. So Jerry's got the boat all done.
Nice. That'll be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was looking. The one bimini top's all tore up, but I have some extras at the house.
Yeah, I think you have one or two laying around.
Yeah, so I don't know if we're going to be changing canvas or whatever, but Jerry's got all the wiring done. He's got all the pumps running, all the lights working, the motor's running, everything's good. So you'll be on the water here pretty quick. All right, 41 Bridge, what do we got there?
Been hearing of a couple of trout, not very many numbers, but a little bit better quality, especially right there around the power lines. And then they also have been catching some black drum, a few whiting, a couple of incidental cobia, all under the bridge and off the bridge.
The trout reports I've heard have been a little bit better than what you've been hearing.
Yeah.
Not fantastic, but, you know, good enough that they were out there happy with the numbers that they were catching. I did hear of couple people turning those trout around into cobia baits, which again, if you have a keeper trout and you want to use it as cobia bait and you count it against your limit, sure, go ahead. These were not keeper trout they were using. Some people did not realize that you can't just use small trout as bait. They figured, well, something's going to eat it at some point, so why can't I use it for bait? So,
and you know, I always ask them, so you can use snook for bait, right? And they're like, no. Well, you can use a redfish bait, right? Well, no. But you can use a trout for bait? They're like, you know, it's funny how they
justify it in their mind.
Yeah, associate it differently sometimes. I don't know if it's an intentional, you know, bad person move or just it's a different thought process. It's like Spanish mackerel has a size and a bag limit. You're not allowed to cut them up, period. They got it. If you're going to keep one, you know, using it for bait or whatever, you can't have pieces of Spanish mackerel on the boat.
Nope.
It's illegal, just like cutting up a snook for bait, you know? But because it's not a fish they associate with it, they the dissociation in their mind. And so, anyway, lastly, Pierre, what's going on?
A few small snook. Yeah.
Did you go
what
out?
Is with you and singing today?
Did you go out last night?
Yeah, I did.
You went out last night, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't drink.
You didn't drink?
I went fishing.
Lowland.
Yeah.
How'd you guys do?
Three in the air, two to the boat, but never actually got my hand on them.
Okay. I just got a call from a very, Joe called me up, and he's got somebody in town wants me to take him out, I think Wednesday.
Yeah.
So.
They're there.
Yeah, but guess what? If I get into it, guess what I'm doing? I'm paying you to go with.
I'll go with you. I got no problem with that. You know that.
I got to go get my boat running and fix the lights on it. So
take Robert's boat.
Well, actually, we could. As long as I just have... Well, this boat's got everything. It's got
the trolling
motor. It's got everything on it.
Right.
I think it's still got trolling motor. I got to look. I don't know. If not, we're going to put it back on. And you're crawling up underneath that front deck.
I tried calling up the last time.
Yeah, I know. Neither one of us.
We had to get Andrew.
Yeah, we'll get Andrew to come back over. All right.
So there were some snook over at Lashley.
Yes.
Not major numbers, but, you know, a few of them that they're catching down there. Trolling plugs along the pier.
Trolling plugs?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Just walking them along.
Yeah, I've heard of a couple trout and a couple whiting, but daytime's been sporadic.
Oh, and little bull sharks.
Little bull sharks.
Yep.
Nice. I'm surprised with how many little bull sharks have stuck around all winter that you've heard of off and on.
I'm not. No.
Just this year is a little bit more of an exception than normal.
I'm surprised that it doesn't happen more, knowing how many bull sharks are born in this harbor.
Yeah, that's true. Just banner year, I guess, for people catching them.
Gotta have banner years for something, right?
Yeah. Mm. Make up for the other stuff.
Yep.
I don't know. It's been an on and off again year. I mean, some guys are just having a great year, and other people are just not doing well. Speaking of not doing well, Bayshore Pier.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't heard anything this week at all off of there.
Yeah, you got possible bull sharks. Couple guys were saying they were sorry, fishing off the one pier that is open.
Yeah. They should be catching Kobe off of it too, but I just haven't heard anything. And it's usually a pretty good spot when they're at the 41 bridge, are usually there too.
Yeah. I don't think there's enough effort happening at the Bayshore Pier right now.
Because they gotta walk farther to that open pier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Port Charlotte Canal System, what's going on over there?
Really pretty good. Big jacks. Guys have been trolling, catching them that way, and then also catching some legal snook that way. And then they've also been getting a few mangrove snapper, an oddball black drum. People are seeing some juvenile tarpon, and there's a lot of juveniles inside Spring Lake. Just not cooperating as usual. But overall, the fishing's been pretty good. Customer driving by, I think it was last Sunday, I was talking to him out in his boat, and he caught four jacks between my bridge and Grassy Point. So he was pretty happy about that.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Alright, and that's going to take us to the Eljabeen Pier.
Eljabeen's been alright. They're catching some of those snook up there too. Some decent black drum. A couple of very late straggler sheep's head have been caught up there. Seems to be lots of little mangrove snapper that have moved in down there. Guys who are trying to catch pinfish for bait having a little bit of a tough time because all the little mangroves keep hitting their little shrimp pieces.
Yeah, I've been hearing of a few bigger trout being caught at night too while they're snook fishing, which is pretty cool. Then the tarpon have been rolling around the bridge sporadically at night also. So a little bit of activity.
All right, that's going to take us out to the Miyake River area. What's going on in that Miyake River?
Honestly, I haven't heard anything in the open part of it this week. Most of it's been the guys fishing the actual cutoff itself.
All right, what's going on in the cutoff?
A lot of snook, quite a few trout, been some black drum cruising through there. A lot of small bait fish in there. There's been a lot of little glass minnows and some very small white bait up inside there, and I think that's what's kind of keeping those trout concentrated in there. But there's definitely a large number of snook cruising through there. People are seeing a lot of them, struggling to catch some of the bigger ones, but they are seeing them. And then there's also been a handful of jacks and baby bull sharks. Same thing going on with them. So that'd be, because what, today, this afternoon, it's supposed to start getting windier.
Yeah, it's supposed to tomorrow. Start getting windier and maybe a little bit of rain tomorrow.
So this afternoon and tomorrow would be a good time to maybe tuck up inside there and learn that all that new habitat, I guess. Mm-hmm. Some of the new contours and stuff.
Now, they said the hole's coming back. Is it's it? Redigging itself back out with the tide, because you've got all that water back in, you know, right as you come through the entrance of the Miyake cutoff, it widens way out there. And then all that water's trying to come through there, and the water from the rest of the cutoff trying to come out, it gets that little boiling action there, and that's what actually kept that hole there. So now that hole's starting to reappear again. And I've heard that from a couple of people. Going over to the South Gulf Cove.
Crickets.
Anything in South Gulf Cove?
Well, if you used crickets, you might catch some panfish.
Yeah. Possible bluegills.
If you're in fresh enough area, we should be getting into where they're starting to think about digging some beds.
Oh, yeah. Bluegill's starting to bed up now?
Yeah, and the tilapia are bedding pretty well. I know that there's a lot of those fish in those South Gulf Cove canals. I haven't seen them over there lately, but I've been watching them bedding up elsewhere. And knowing the population that's out there, it's probably going to be pretty good out there. And the cool thing about those tilapia is, you know, there's no size limit, there's no bag limit. It's an exotic invasive species. You catch all you want. If you pull them off the nest, nobody complains at you for ethics violations. You're just taking away that fish's ability to spawn. Drop a little red wiggler there in the middle of the nest. Yeah, jerk that fish right out.
They actually like it. So, going down the west wall, what's going on the west side of the harbor?
A lot of snook. I mean, the snook are stacked up underneath all those, all on the whole shoreline and up inside some of those creeks. And they're moving around a lot. So one creek will have them, and then the next creek, nothing, but come back 2 hours later, and it's a complete flip of the fish.
And because they're moving around so much, we're seeing some fish out on the open flats there too, fishing in the sand grass mixed areas, and even some on the bar edge.
A lot of guys are seeing some cobia cruising on the outside edge of the bar there. A few pompano and a few trout in particular as you get a little bit further south. And then there's also been some bonnet heads as bycatch over there. So, been a lot of life. It's been kind of cool. Quite a few manatees cruising around over there back and forth.
The bottom about one-third of the west wall has also been starting to hold some redfish up underneath the bushes on the higher tides. It ain't huge numbers. You're not going out there to catch 15. But if you want to fish for snook and then maybe pitch a piece of cut bait or something up underneath the edge and see if there's a redfish, it's almost getting to where it's worthwhile.
That's always a positive thing to hear.
Okay. Alright. Sorry. My diseased fingers and throat and brain don't type that fast today. Alright, Cape Hayes. What do we got on Cape Hayes?
Spanish mackerel, a few bluefish, ladyfish, oddball trout, bonnet heads. I mean, kind of a good mixed open water gamut of fish. What have you been hearing?
Well, just remember, be careful while you're fishing out there. I saw a boat go aground out there last week, and he
only
was,
one?
Well, yeah, but it's just a good reminder. You know, he was not expecting there to be any kind of shallow water in front of him. He thought he'd just run right through there, and you can't just run right through there. You need to know that area.
Yeah, well, it goes out for almost 1 mile from the shoreline. People don't realize how skinny it can be out there.
But that's why I mention it, because you're right, it is a good fishing area. It's kind of the tipping point between Gasparilla Sound and the rest of the harbor. You know, when the lower end of the West Wall is good, Bull and Turtle Bays are good, Cape Hayes is going to be good. But you just need to use a little bit of a cautious attitude when you're going into there.
Yeah. Spot. That's actually, you know, the separation between lower harbor and upper harbor. Because that's a lot of times the salt separation too. In the summertime, that's your kind of the edge of the salt water, fresh water on there. And that Cape Hayes, and the one thing about Cape Hayes at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's rough. It's always rough getting across there. I don't know, you know, people say, oh, it was, and usually somewhere by 4 o'clock it calms right down, but between 2 and 4 o'clock out there in the afternoon, Cape Hayes is nasty. From Cape Hayes over to Boquilla, north end of Pine Island, that stretch through there between 2 and 4 o'clock pretty much every day just gets up 2-3 footers and gets really sloppy. Now if you get over before that, no problem. After 4 o'clock, between 4 and 4:30, it dies off again.
But it didn't last night.
It didn't?
No.
You were coming in?
Yeah, it was nasty all the way up till at least an hour before sunset.
What were you doing on the water last night?
We were out offshore fishing all day.
Were you with a client or friends?
No, client.
No, friendly client.
Well, they were relatively friendly. One of them was British, which makes them sound friendlier.
Okay, so what did you catch?
They had some great shots at Red Grouper, which they missed because they let the Red Grouper get into the rocks. We saw lots of barracuda out there, which were more in the mood to follow things than to actually eat things. Missed a couple of shots at cobia, caught some snapper. You know, but it was a cool day out there on the water, just to be there and to see stuff. You know, when you're out there teaching people stuff and basically going ground up on this is how we catch bait fish, this is how we go target snapper, this is how we go target bigger fish. You know, sometimes they catch more fish and sometimes they catch fewer fish. They did not catch as many as they would have liked to have yesterday, but part of that is the learning experience, because there's nothing that prepares you for getting railed by a red grouper except really getting railed by a red grouper.
Yeah.
And when it's the first time you're experiencing it, you know, you're not ready for it.
So you were Josh, the fish coach.
Yes.
Josh, yesterday.
Yes, sir.
So you were out there fish coaching, and it's always a tough call, because if you're going to take somebody out and just fish, and okay, here's the rod, go ahead, drop it down and catch some fish, do this, do that, but when you're trying to teach the rigs and teach what you're doing and explain everything all the way along, sometimes it does get a little less fish in the boat, but in the long term it works out better. Speaking of longer term, bulls have long tails and we're in Bull Bay right now.
That's a pretty stupid Turtle segue, Bay. Frank, yeah, but
well,
okay.
I tried. I could have gone, we're going into Bull Bay, Turtle Bay.
I don't know. That's...
He's really into the singing
song today.
Yeah,
I don't know what's
like
up with
super
this.
Super into singing today. It's not a bad thing, I guess.
No, and he's actually keeping much better
tone.
Much better tone than he normally has.
Yeah, I usually just, somebody says, "Do you sing?" I said, "Not that anybody enjoys."
Right. Right. Oh, I'm not saying we're enjoying it. Don't get me wrong.
I figured I was pretty safe with that statement. All right, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay. What's going on?
A lot of snook moving all over the place. Mostly along the shorelines, but they are finding them literally 50 yards, 100 yards out from the bushes on some of those grass flats. And then there's been an incidental redfish here and there. And then the trout and ladyfish have been kind of out in that little bit deeper water over some of those grasses and along the middle of Bull Bay through that whole stretch.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the redfish are incidental because people are not targeting them right now. I think if people started to beat the bushes a little bit more seriously in the Bull Turtle Bay area, they would start to see more redfish being caught, because there are more of them out there than there have been. Again, don't expect to go out there and load the boat down with redfish. Don't expect that you're going to go catch 50, but you know, it's reasonable to go out there and start fishing for them in that area.
If myself and a friend went out, who both of us are good at damn it fishing, casting up under the trees with a damn good caster, damning them into trees, you know, and you can skip baits under the mangroves and you can work slowly along with a trolling motor, you have a very good chance of having a nice day catching redfish, slowly working around each island and going around and casting. But if you're out, you know, hiring a charter boat captain, he has to like anchor up, still fish a shoreline for a while, and then move and still fish a shoreline for a while, you're not going to do as good. And it's when you have people that are good with the rods and reels casting all the time, you can work that shoreline and really do pretty well, because there might be 5 redfish around that island, mm-hmm. and you can catch 3 of them. But when you're fishing one spot, trying to fish that shoreline, and then you got to move and do the next spot, you can't cover the ground, you can't cover the area it takes to catch big numbers of redfish right now. So if you're going to forego the redfish and go out to Cape Hayes Reef or Danger Reef, what would the possibilities be out there?
Certainly possible cobia, since those fish are moving past those areas as they head up into the upper part of the harbor. So I'd be looking for those guys around there. Haven't heard anything on the bottom out there, have you, Bob?
No, not at all. Bottom's been pretty quiet there, but the Spanish mackerel and bluefish have been moving through there pretty regularly too. So it's definitely more of a pelagic reef than it is anything else right now. You know, I'm surprised that the Goliath grouper aren't doing really good on it, because they usually catch a lot of those this time of year on it.
I think a lot of the structure covered up, and that's why we're not seeing the good numbers of the Goliath there as we did before. Taking a turn up north, Gasparilla Sound from Kaopalu up north. What's Devilfish Key north? What do we got?
Basically all of Widden Creek, Widden Bay, that whole section there. Been a lot of snook, a handful of trout, an oddball redfish. And then there's also been some mangrove snapper hanging out in there being bait thieves. A lot of little guys. But it's doing pretty well. You know, it's definitely been a shrimp and white bait feed. So it's been pretty good.
Are you laughing at my mermaids?
Why would we laugh at your mermaids?
I happen to like mermaids. I like made mers better, but mermaids are cool. So,
can you explain the difference?
No. There is a no. I'm not going to do that. Sorry.
A little cynical laugh walking out the door.
Okay. Tee-hee-hee, Placida Pier, Placida Trestle.
Trestle's still burned, so it's still closed up, but a lot of guys are now taking advantage of that with their boats and fishing around it, because now they have an extra, 200 yards of pier to fish.
Yep.
You know, they've been getting some pretty good-sized snapper. Not great numbers, but definitely a little bit better quality snapper. And then the bonnet heads, Spanish mackerel. Been a few incidental pompano there, and a whole lot of snook both during the daytime and at night there.
And listen, guys, do the shore-based anglers a huge favor and fish that area regularly. You know, fish it as much as you can, because one of the reasons the fish hang out down there a lot is because they get to steal a lot of baits. There's a lot of food for them down there, and if nobody's fishing, then there's not going to be a lot of bait, and that area will not be as productive. So let's keep those fish fed, so when it does reopen, there's still going to be some fish hanging out down there.
Yeah, that's an interesting take on it. That kind of goes against what all the eco nuts always say. They always say do the opposite, don't fish there so that there's more fish.
Well, yeah, that's true, but you know, if you want a bunch of bald eagles, yeah, then set up a landfill if you want a bunch of bald eagles, because that's where the bald eagles are going to hang out. They're going to have something to eat. You want to have a bunch of raccoons in an area? Do you go way out in the woods, or do you go around the restaurants where they've got their trash bins?
Food is the key. I've long been a proponent that when you go out, look at the Everglades. If you go down there where they have the airboat stuff and the people are there, they keep the water you know, dredged out and the water's clear and there's a lot of fish and everything else there. You got a lot of just tons of wildlife, birds, animals, reptiles, everything. And then you get a half a mile away from where the people live and it's a dead zone. There's nothing out there alive. You go look and in 3 miles you see one gator and one half-starved bird hanging out somewhere, but that's about it.
Yeah, food is everything.
Wherever the people are.
Provide the food, and we do a great job of that because we're very sloppy.
Yeah, Lemon Bay Stump Pass, Lemon Bay Park, Lemon Bay area.
All the docks there on the mainland side have been doing very well for snook and a few trout on the outer edges of those docks. Other than that, I have not heard much. My weekly wade fisherman didn't come in this week, so I guess I got to start calling him bi-weekly. Yeah. So, what do you got up there, Josh?
Well, that stuff. Again, a couple of straggler sheepshead that I've heard about this week. A handful of pompano north of the bridge. And that's about it.
Alright.
It's been beautiful up there. I know the water's super clear. Everyone's talking about that.
Well, the water's super clear until the boats start running through it. And then the water's super murky. So you got to be out there early if you want to see the super clear water. Don't expect to go out in the later in the day and have it be super clear.
Well, I think that's pretty much every body of water where you have boat traffic.
Yeah, but it's
and
so
narrow and confined.
So noticeable there in Lemon Bay.
Yeah, you know? Because it starts off crystal clear, and then by 11 o'clock, it's pretty murky.
Yeah.
All right, Englewood Pier.
I've got crickets. I didn't get anything this week from over there.
Saw a couple sharks caught out there. Couldn't tell what species they were from the photos. I would guess that they were either bulls or black tips, since that seems the most logical choices. Some guys catching some snook out there, most of them shorts, but a couple of keepers. Saw one photo of a big, big one, probably 43, 44 inches. So I have not heard about anybody catching pompano from the pier or off the bridge. They were kind of expecting to, but did not.
All right, well.
And there's also been a huge amount of bait down there.
Gotcha. All right, if we went out into the Gulf of Mexico and were fishing, you actually were just there yesterday, Josh?
Yes, I was.
What's going on in the Gulf of Mexico?
So we've got some snapper in about 50 feet of water. They're not super aggressive, but they are out there feeding. We ran into those red grouper in about 85 feet in the same kind of area. We were marking fish on the midwater. Pretty sure they were amberjack based on the fishing reports we'd had from the previous couple days, but we weren't able to get those things to bite anything. Talked to a guy out there who I know is an amberjack specialist. He also was not able to catch amberjack yesterday, but agreed with me that that's probably what he was marking. Huge numbers of blue runners out there, including some schools just kind of wallowing around on the surface. Very difficult to get them to eat anything. I don't know what they're taking out there, but it's very teeny, eensy, weensy, tiny baits. I'm guessing if you threw a sabiki out there, they'd probably be more interested in it. And there's barracuda mixed in with those. We saw a couple of kingfish skyrocket from a distance, couldn't get to them in time. We had a couple of cobia swim underneath the boat. There's a lot of life out there, but it seemed like they weren't feeding quite as well as they should be yesterday, and we were watching other anglers around us having the same experience.
Did you see any schools of bonita out there or anything blitzing?
Did not. The only things that we saw right there on the surface were those couple of skyrocketing kings and the big schools of blue runners. And dolphins. Lots of tail-slapping dolphins, which I thought was interesting. And the biggest flying fish I think I've ever seen out there.
Really?
Yeah. I'm guessing he was 15, 16 inches long.
That's a good one.
And good numbers of pretty small ones.
That's a really good one.
And we may or may not have seen a sailfish. We weren't quite close enough to be sure, but we had two sickle shapes that looked like they were following each other. We would have tried to approach it a little bit closer, but we were at anchor at the time.
All right.
It's doing pretty good out there.
Okay, that's going to take us to the passes. And how about Venice? Anything in Venice?
Snook are starting to move in there a little bit better each day. and then some Spanish mackerel and some very small mangrove snapper. Mostly bait thieves, but plenty of them in there.
The Pompano reports are also hit and miss. You know, it's great today, terrible tomorrow kind of thing, which is very normal for that area.
All right.
But the good news is that there are still days that it's great.
How about Stump Pass?
I haven't gotten anything out of Stump Pass this week.
No, I was out to Stump Pass this week and we didn't see much. Ran into another guy who was out there fishing the beach side because he said the pass has been slow.
It's filling in pretty good, isn't it?
There's still a lot of water moving through there, though.
Oh, there's a ton of water moving through there, but it's amazing how that north end is starting to shift.
It's creeping.
Way out.
All right. Let's take Little Gasparilla, Boca.
Little Gasparilla's had some Spanish mackerel in it off and on pretty consistently. It's getting pretty skinny through there, though. That's another one that's kind of...
That's another one that needs to be dredged.
Yeah.
Badly.
It's getting pretty sketchy out there. You got a big enough boat, you better really be paying attention going out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Boca?
Lots of tarpon. Tarpon have been the primary subject, but they are getting some Spanish mackerel, some bluefish, a lot of small red grouper and gag grouper for the guys that are trying to catch a snapper on the bottom, which, surprisingly enough, I haven't heard much of, which should be doing usually pretty good.
We drove across where the snapper usually hang out yesterday, and we didn't mark anything down there.
All right. Well, take us over to Captiva.
A few incidental tarpon moving in through there, but I've heard of a few more better sharks down in there. Some bull sharks of, you know, 5 foot, pushing 6 foot. A couple of black tips here and there that are pushing that 4 foot plus. And then the incidental whiting and pompano right along the edge there as you come out.
I've talked to nobody fishing down there.
Anything nobody. In Redfish Pass?
I've got nothing, to be honest.
All right. That's going to take us... Let's see where we're going. Walking the beaches. What's going on walking the beaches? If you're going to stand on land and cast out into the water...
With a little bit of luck, you might catch some pompano. Those fish have been moving up and down. Obviously, you kind of have to be there when they're there. For something that's a little bit easier, whiting have been... okay, not setting the world on fire or anything, but, you know, it's reasonable to go out there and expect to catch 3 or 4, maybe 6 or 8 if you know what you're doing in a few hours.
Okay.
A couple of flounders out there, but I haven't heard anything about big ones. They've been gulf flounder topping out around 14 inches. And we're starting to see some snook out there on the beaches now. It's not as surefire as it will be in a few weeks, but especially near the passes, we're seeing snook dumping out, and if you've got bait fish around, chances are good you're going to have snook there busting on them.
Yeah, I've only heard about the old broken down bridge or pier there out on Boca. That's the only beach fishing I've heard of, and it was a few small snook, a couple pompano, and a bonnet head.
Okay, that's going to take us down to Sanibel, Ponarasa. What's going on down there?
The only thing I've heard about has been some of the tarpon fishing down there. You know, right off of Knapp's Point for some tarpon. And then they've been getting seeing a few right there at the Sanibel Causeway. I haven't heard of much, you know, consistent numbers, but definitely fishable at night. And then there has been some snook and trout as you move up towards St. James City area, all around those grass flats and a couple of those small islands.
They're also seeing some redfish there on the oyster bars in the south end of Pine Island there, right there at the tip.
They catch them on whitebait or shrimp, or did they specify at all?
It's probably cutbait, knowing who was doing it.
Right.
But they weren't specific.
All right, Coosahatchee River, we got tarpon up on bridges.
Yeah, I haven't heard of anything, unfortunately, other than that.
Anything, Josh?
I have not heard of a thing.
All right. It's going to take us up to Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey's had some fairly good trout and Oh man, how am I doing today? Spanish mackerel just to the south of Matlachet in the main channel and along the edges of the channel. And then they've been even catching a couple of bluefish mixed in with it. But overall, haven't heard much else. What about your Matlachet guys?
Yeah, they've been talking about a couple of cobia that they've seen, but they haven't been catching them. The only things they've been talking about actually catching is little stuff. Little mangrove snapper and pinfish and pigfish, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, pigfish are good bait.
Pigfish are fantastic bait. Unfortunately, these are more like the size that you would fillet
or
use as bait.
They're actually quite good eating, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like any other grunt.
Yep. All right. Heading around the other side of Pine Island to Pine Island Sound.
Mostly what I've been hearing about is a lot of snook up and down all the islands. Guys are mostly catching them on white bait, lots of small fish. A handful of bigger fish that they're seeing, but not getting to chew. And then as you move out kind of closer towards the ICW, Spanish mackerel, a few trout, a couple of small sharks. And there again, a few oddball bluefish. Seems like they're more concentrated than the Spanish mackerel. They're kind of just peppered here and there. But you get into one little spot and the guy seems to catch 3 or 4, you know, 1 to 2 pound bluefish in one little spot.
I haven't heard any caught, but I've heard about some tarpon seen laying up inside some of the deeper holes, just kind of chilling on the bottom. And I've actually heard about a lot of little sharks being caught out there. Mixed bag of species too. You know, sharp nose, black nose, bonnets, bulls. But pretty significant numbers of them.
All right, that's going to take us up to Jug Creek Shoals. Okelia, what's going on up there?
I've got nothing there at all.
The only fish that I heard about caught out there was a stingray about 4 feet across.
No, that's a stingray. That's a good one.
Okay, and that's going to move us over to Burnt Store Two Pines.
Down by Two Pines, they've been catching some snook. I've heard it's gotten a little quiet the last few days, other than seeing a few bigger fish. And then the trout are kind of on the outer edges there in that 4 to 5 feet of water. Got to cover a lot of ground to find them. And then they've seen a few tarpon, but not super targetable. You know, it's one of those, if you're there and they're showing themselves, get ready for them, but I wouldn't go down there and dedicate a lot of time to it.
Heard about some schools of Spanish mackerel and ladyfish kind of sort of mixed together, sort of separated, but in the same general area right there off the Burnt Store Bar. Had some guys who were watching cobia and putting baits out in front of them. Only heard about one of those actually being hooked, and it ended up being just a little bit short. But it's a good idea to go down there and look. I mean, you know how cobia are. They're either going to eat or they're not going to eat. It's just the nature of those fish to be jerks.
All right. That takes us over to the east side of the harbor. Anything going on the east side?
Tons of snook. Lots and lots of little snook over there with a few bycatch of redfish. And then a few of the smaller sharks. I've heard of some bonnet heads. I've heard of a couple of Atlantic sharp nose. And then the trout seem to get peppered on the outside edge of the bar also. And then cobia. Cobia have been cruising up and down the entire thing, both inside the bar and on top of it and just outside of it. Most of the fish that are being caught are on the outside of it when they're in that real shallow water. I don't know if it's because of the boat traffic or what, but not a lot of guys are catching those. Just looking at them.
Just watching them. You know, it's funny how those cobia tend to be in the same kind of depths where we see the trout.
Coincidental?
Yeah, you think?
Maybe.
All right, Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, skating rink.
A lot of snook up inside the creek, especially as you get up past Poacher's Cut. And then the jacks have been in there also. And then the black drum have been in the Burnt Store aisle still, with a few of those fish starting to come out into the main part of the creek.
Hey, Morris. I don't think that one's connected, but here, you can try and clip in one of these if you want to join us. Mike.
Oh, all right.
You don't want to talk?
Well,
that's
here.
Okay.
Here, you can clip in.
Do whatever you want to do.
See if that one works.
You're a grown man.
I got more microphones here if that one
works. Oh, you're going to sing too? Frank's been singing all morning.
Yes.
He's been singing.
He has been.
It has been. Clip in and see if that one will work. We're just winding up the fishing report. We're down by Alligator Creek. Just unwrap the cord. That way you can just hold it. Yeah, there you go. One more. There you go. Yeah, well. Whoa. That one lit
that
us
was
up.
Hot.
Okay.
This mic's hot.
Yeah, it works.
Okay. There you go.
All right. There you are, Morris.
Okay. Hey, no fair. His mic sounds better than mine.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with all the mics. I guess I'm getting new boards. I'm setting up a whole new studio here very, very soon. So everything will be sounding better again. I'm getting actual radio microphones and resetting all the computers and everything. All new stuff coming very, very soon. This stuff's getting old anyway. Even in this environment, it's amazing it still works.
It really is.
Alligator Creek. Skating rink. Lots of schools of snook, schools of jacks, and black drum.
Yeah. There's been a few bonnet heads over there at the skating rink, but they've been really scattered across that whole thing, so it's been kind of just the bycatch.
And fair numbers of trout out there. Nothing huge, but some keepers, lots of shorts in the rink itself.
Are those working? Yeah, there you go. Okay. All right. That's going to move us on down and around. Ponce de Leon Park. Anybody heard anything from Ponce?
It's finally starting to pick up a little bit. Getting some more reports of some mangrove snapper. A lot of snook moving through there. A few jacks and oddball black drum. So it's kind of nice. I think it was last week. It was the first relatively decent report since they dredged it. So it's picking up a little.
Good news, but I haven't talked to anybody who's fished down there.
Yeah.
Morris, know anything about Ponce de Leon Park?
Not in recent days.
Okay. All right. That's going to take us into the PGI canals.
PGI canals are doing really well. They are seeing pretty good numbers of snook in there. We're seeing some jacks. Some of those jacks are pretty good sized fish. You know, the average one is probably running 3 to 5 pounds, but some of those fish are pushing 12, 15, and guys are getting just absolutely wrecked by those fish, smoked, because they're not prepped for it. So when suddenly your rod starts trying to fly away, it's probably a big old jack tearing off. Snook underneath the bridges, snook underneath some of people's docks. A lot of these fish that are in there seem to be those lazy, non-spawning bigger fish that aren't going to go down to the beach. They're going to probably stay there in the canals. Not seeing too many of the smaller fish in there. So their average is going to be a good bit bigger than it is over, like, on the east and west sides. And a few black drum in there also.
Got anything, Morris?
This time of year, it'd be a good time to soak that big ladyfish on the bottom in there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, something like
crushed
that.
Crushed mullet head.
Yeah, mullet heads. Mm-hmm. Yeah, since those snook are live bait feeders only, and they don't scavenge ever.
Absolutely not.
Right.
No, snook have pride.
God, what a weird show. Okay. All right, yes. We're going to go to the prideful snook, and the prideful snook, would they be hanging out at Gilcrest Pier right now?
It is open back up.
For all the good it does you.
Gilcrest Park for the Pride Festival, since they have pride.
Okie dokie. All right.
I didn't get any fishing reports of it, but I did get that it was back open.
All right. Well, I put it as open. That'll get us that far. That's going to take us out to the Alligator Creek Reef itself. The 1 mile reef, the concrete reef, the one in Trella Harbor. Any fishing reports from anybody?
A lot of cobia. Still a lot of cobia swimming around it. Most of them are on the short side, but there are some legal fish on it. And then there also has been some Spanish mackerel, a couple incidental small sharks. And then the bottom fishing has been fair to partly lousy from what I've been talking to a couple people.
Pretty much, yeah. A couple of smaller Goliath grouper caught out there, but not so much with anything else on the bottom.
Yeah, it's been surprisingly quiet. They're all catching them mostly on the shrimp and the bucktails, and then some couple of guys have been real successful using the shad tails for the cobia. So it's been not too bad. Some guys are drifting or using their trolling motors and just kind of covering some ground, and they're looking for them and also just blind casting.
Or trolling.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a trip. That guy had fun.
Yeah, I was listening to you say that. I didn't bust your chops on, you know, your radio show, but I troll for cobia. Carl trolls for cobia all the time. That's the primary way Carl gets the cobia off the artificial reef there at Alligator Creek there. That's his number one way of catching them there.
I guess I've never paid attention to how he was doing it.
Yeah,
because I mean, this
that, just blew I used me to away. Do it all the time, and now Carl's been doing it. I mean, it does it regularly. Morris, do you troll for cobia?
We actually caught a...
Speak up, Morris.
Caught a world record cobia trolling one time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, explain.
Okay, we're 60 feet of water off of Inglewood, and, you know, we're trolling ballyhoos over a wreck out there, and we're catching blackfin tuna and king mackerel, and there's a big school of cobias there, so I positioned the boat around them and made the ballyhoo go over them, and the biggest cobia I'd ever seen to that point came up and ate it, and fight was on. About an hour and a half later, we caught a really big cobia.
How big was it?
103 pounds.
Wow. That'll do it.
That's a big cobia.
That'll do it.
So, yeah, that, you know, I wasn't specifically targeting cobia, but he did eat a trolled bait.
So, yeah, take that, Robert.
Hey, I'm good with that.
I just, you know, what you were saying, I've never heard of people doing...
Like I said, I must not have paid attention to it.
You know, that's...
I don't hear about it much, honestly.
And, well, you got to pull the big king spoons and stuff, because most of the time, the trolling I've done for him has been by the reef, outside the sandbar, over by Marker 5, between 5 and Danger Reef. And usually, if it's a bycatch of other things I'm trolling for, but I catch them quite often trolling. I don't know that I actually... The only time I ever tried targeting cobia with trolling is on the east side of the harbor. Get out in 6-8 feet of water out there and pulling spoons or even rattle traps and stuff aren't too bad for them.
I got a little suggestion too, that okay. Things that have worked really good in the past. The old school bomber, red and white. You know, That's an absolute cobia killer when you're slow trolling it around. And if you're going to fish, we were talking about Alligator Reef, there's nothing to stop you from putting a live ladyfish on, or a whiting, or, you know, a big thread or something like that.
Robert would stop you. There's one thing that could stop you. That's Robert.
Nope.
Slow troll those live baits around. You know, instead of speed trolling around, and compared to live bait fishing, pulling a spoon or a plug is speed trolling. But you're covering more territory with your live bait, and you're still presenting the live bait to the cobia, which they don't turn down. So,
yeah, good idea. All right, let's go to the deep holes in the harbor. Are any of these techniques going to work, or is there even any fish in the deep holes in the harbor? Anybody got a
Spanish mackerel, a few tarpon? The big school of black drum has been cruising around hitting all of the holes. Just got to find them. So it's been a little tricky with his, you know, little bit of a chop on the water. It's next to tough to find them.
Almost out to Danger Reef off of Gallagher's, all the way down to Bull Bay. Almost that far out away from the shoreline.
Yeah.
I've heard a couple of guys that are chartering out there saying that they've seen the schools of black drum there.
Yeah. They've been making their rounds in that big circle.
Well, you got that really clear water, and then, you know, they're actually mudding it up at times there. So,
been some big jacks doing that out there in front of Bull and Turtle.
They're black drum in them too. They're kind of coexisting there.
There you go.
All right.
Lots of fun.
I guess we're down to bait reports. What's going on for white bait anywhere?
White bait's been at some of the markers. It's been down over on the east side a little bit. You're working for it. And then there's been some better numbers of it down around Kaupalau and Devilfish area. And then, of course, over there by the Placida area and out on the beaches. I mean, it's kind of...
If you can access it, I would look on the beach right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it, you know, if you're up here in Punta Gorda, I mean, that's a long run to the beach, and obviously there's a lot more bait around than that. But.
Yeah.
All right.
There was a lot of it over at Anger Pier, too, Frank.
Thread fins anywhere?
The thread fins are a little bit out in the center of the harbor, but they're smaller schools, and they're staying down pretty deep. But your better thread fins have been down towards Boca and going out through the pass. Yeah. Just on the outside by the
channel markers.
Channel markers.
Lots of blue runners there, cigar minnows. No Spanish sardines in there yet, but with this clear water, they should show up anytime.
All right, pinfish.
The only area I've heard of them has been like devilfish, and then over there by Placida. Both those islands on each side of the trestle. Seems to
no
be the
shortage
better
of
numbers.
Them offshore.
Yeah.
If you want some bigger ones on the sabikis.
That's a nice way to get them. Just sabiki up a couple dozen and go.
Yeah, I would prefer to sabiki them. I'd prefer to sabiki
it's,
all
it's
of my bait.
It's easier on them than cast net.
Yeah. I mean, threadies. I'll take sabiki threadies over cast netted threadies in a heartbeat.
All right. Ladyfish.
Well, just a few inside Bull Bay with any consistency. Other than that, it's just random.
There's been some off of the Burnt Store Bar.
Boca Grande Bar is always reliable in May. Just the shallow bar that runs from the inlet to the bayou by Boca Grande Marina.
Okay, yeah.
Up toward the phosphate dock. That sandbar is always reliable for them.
I like fishing that area. I don't fish it very often, nice but when area. I do there, it's just consistent, just mixed mash of stuff.
Okay, that is going to take us to the freshwater report. We're working our way down to the last couple here, guys. Freshwater report, what's going on in Sweetwater?
I might have mentioned nesting tilapia.
Speaking of the nesting, right now, the bluegills are bedding.
Oh, good.
Just confirm all what you were talking about earlier.
All the bluegills are bedding right now, and as soon as they're finished, shellcrackers will be right on top of them, the red-eared sunfish.
So. And you can be like my uncle, and you can eat that roe. Boy, he loves panfish roe. Brim roe, boy, that's just his favorite thing. Mix it with your eggs in the morning.
I've eaten a whole lot of that stuff, actually.
I don't like it personally, but it's an acquired taste.
It's almost as fun as catching Oscars, Josh.
No, it's not. It's definitely not.
Almost.
No, it's definitely not.
All right, we've got panfish. What's going on, bass?
A lot of guys buying shiners. Most of the bass they're catching are in the 2 to 3 pound range in most of the canals. I haven't heard of any really big ones, but it's definitely been a shiner feed. Even the guys that are buying the baits, instead of throwing the plastic worms, they've been coming in and buying some of the rattle traps and
good top water time of the year.
Yeah, just some of the small lip baits. So it's been good, consistent, I guess would be the better word.
All right, well, let's see where we're gonna go. God darn it. My mouse thing is getting defunct. That's why I gotta set up a whole new studio. I got a bunch of shows to do here soon, and I gotta have a new studio for it.
Almost sang again.
Well,
song. It wasn't singing.
I think
singing.
It's the medication. I really do. I think it's.
Is that one of the side effects?
It
causes singing?
Yes. The side effects.
Subject
of
may burst out into a random song. Do you dance too?
That's a different drug.
That wasn't one of the side effects on the label, but singing was, yes. Bursting into song at random moments, yes. All right, and
is a cabaret, old chum.
And don't operate light-duty equipment like bicycles. I'm okay on bulldozers, but no bicycles. Okay, tarpon reports.
Boca Grande pretty much is the king right now. Literally. You know, that's been the main place where they have been, where you stand a really good chance. Last couple days have been a crab feed, but squirrelfish and shrimp have been working exceptionally well. The bite's been more morning and in the evening. Had these real strong outgoing tides in the evening, so it's been stacking those fish up there pretty good.
The crabs have been flushing.
Yeah.
And they're, I got a report yesterday afternoon that, you know, a couple of guys that I know are out there, they're doing quite well just drifting a crab. Well, free line crab, they were catching them good. Yeah. So the crab bites going.
Yeah. It's a good thing.
Next full moon or new moon, we'll probably have a nice hill tide.
Yeah. I think we're coming up on a full moon, aren't we?
I thought we just passed the
just
new.
Just passed the full.
Just passed the full?
Okay. That's why they were flushing.
Alright. If you're going to go up in the harbor and look for them, what's the best way, best bait, best styles, best whatever for up in the harbor?
Slow trolling a bait buster and trying to cover some ground looking for them. That would probably be the way I would do it. I'd be looking for some free jumping fish or rolling fish while I'm doing that the whole time, but it's been very inconsistent with those fish up inside the harbor.
A forgotten lure for those too. The bait buster is an awesome lure, but really old school lure is a Reflecto spoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bigger Reflecto spoon, just no feathers on or anything, just nice big old school spoon, just about 2.5-3 mile an hour behind the boat, and they really smack it.
And I like that because it's got the single hook on
they
it too.
They stay hooked well. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Alright. That's going back a long time.
Right.
That's an old...
Well, that's the best thing about having old guys around is they can tell you the old tricks.
That's right.
Yes, we are old, tricky people. So,
old age and treasure will overcome youth.
Overcome youth. Youth and ability has no chance over old age and treachery. So, alright, I've got the tarpon map up in there. One thing I would like to go over is night fishing, because there's actually quite a bit of that going around.
Yeah. Yeah, the night fishing for tarpon is by far more consistent with other random spots besides Boca Grande.
Alright, what would you use to do that with?
Bait busters and storm swim baits have been working well, but honestly, shrimp's working best.
Big shrimp.
That's what I've been catching them on. Every fish we've hooked so far has been on a shrimp.
Boca Grande Pass is not a bad place for that big shrimp, too, on that nighttime.
Yeah. I've caught plenty of them there during the daytime. And watch everyone get upset. What are you using? Shrimp? No, you're not. Okay. Keep fishing and doing what you're doing. We're good over here. Leave us alone.
Yeah. Take your threadfin and your crab, because you can't catch anything on shrimp. Tarpon won't eat it.
Nope. I know it's the middle of the day, but go ahead.
Button minnow, same way.
Yeah.
What's that funny minnow you're using?
Yeah, exactly.
You're just telling all the secrets today, aren't you?
It's a baby northern pike.
Yeah.
All right. Well, any good thoughts for the fine folks out there in the land of podcast, I guess you would say, all 15 plus thousand of them right now?
I can't say it more than enough. For the next 4 or 5 weeks, be prepared for everything. Take your light tackle, take your heavy tackle. Don't have just one fish for an agenda, because it can change at any given moment for all sorts of species out there right now, whether you're inshore or offshore. There's just way too many things going on right now. It makes it very, very incredible.
And let me add to that, don't just take your tackle, have it rigged
now, wait a minute.
Ready.
Just everybody, hold your breath, sit back, listen. It's Josh Olive, the fishing coach, as in fishcoach.net. He is ready to speak. He has come down off his
mountain.
Come down off the mountain. I was thinking more of the flying bridge. He's traveled down from the flying bridge to speak to everyone here. So the fish coach speaks. And what words of wisdom do we have?
My sage advice was just to not carry your rods with you, but to actually rig them up. Have them out there, but have something on them. You know, if you've got that lighter rod ready, then you actually can use it when the opportunity presents itself. If you have it out there and you don't have anything tied onto the end of it and you have to tie something on, then by the time you've got it done, your opportunity may be passed.
Well, fish come to the boat better when there's a hook and a leash.
Much, yes. Much better.
Yeah, they don't come as well to hear fishy, you know.
But don't discount that completely.
Don't discount
it
completely.
So your advice to everybody, Josh, is to go out and tie one on.
Yep. Yep. Or tie one on and then go out, actually. So, even worse.
Yeah, even worse.
Okay. So, right. No, there's better advice than all those, but it's equal, and it goes hand in hand with every piece of advice so far. Get your butt out there and go fishing. This is the best time of the year to go, but take advantage of it. The weather is going to stabilize. Everything's nice. It's warm. You're not going to freeze. Go fishing.
I guess that kind of sums it up.
On your fishing pole. And meet me at the vision hole. We may not.
Somebody always got to do it.
All day, but don't you rush away.
Well, Fishing Frank here.
Place to rest your bones.
Robert in the chair across from me. Captain Josh Olive, the fish coach, whistling on one mic. Captain Morris Campbell, whistling on the major third. So. How do you not just enjoy that song? So
makes you grin every time.
It actually does. And thank you all for listening. And Fishing Frank here, sicker than a dog, up on meds, and trying to stay away from everybody so I don't get them sick.
And subject to spontaneous song.
Yes. Yes, it has been one of those things where I have been subject to a random burst of songs. So don't worry, you're all good. We ain't gonna sing no more today. Y'all have got a great day out there. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Fish and Frank, we'll catch you on the next Area Fishing Report.